Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends.
Howdy-ho. You're switching this up on me. I don't like it.
Well,
it's supposed to be routine and normal and something they can count on, and you're over here screwing me.
Nah, I'm good.
Cadence, the tone, the volume, everything's all over the damn place.
You can put it on
my
the
ooh-ah-ah changes only because my voice in the morning sometimes is like, you're not ready for that. It's like I need to go in the shower and like go like full disturbed and do some ooh-ah-ah-ah to get it warmed up.
Well, I think yes. one of the scary things, and this is probably what terrified my boss about offering me this opportunity, is, you know, what you see is what you get, depending on what kind of mood old P. Harris is in. And today on a football Friday, I'm in a pretty darn tootin' good mood. I'm ready to drink. That's how good of a mood I'm in. That is how good of a mood
I like it when
I'm
I get
in.
A good one.
Yeah.
I like it when I get a good...
too bad the baseball is dark today, right? Or we could do our own little 999 challenge.
I know. No. You know what? You know what's more shocking about that is that I mentioned to said boss man that next year, if we get a low pitching matchup, you know, like a low scoring matchup like Detroit-Cleveland was, can we do 9 for 9 for 9 on the air? He was more worried about you having extra shows afterwards than just the fact of us drinking 9 beers and eating 9
during
hot dogs.
The show.
Which kind of borderline gives me an okay.
Yeah. Sounds like he was good with it.
That kind of says you can do this.
Look, so you're telling me there's a chance.
I don't drink often. But if we
but when I do, it's 9 hot dogs and 9 beers in 3 hours.
I'm telling you right now, if we did this once. Like let's say we do like a on location during the World Series or something like that, for like the Mariners go to the World Series. We're like, you know what? Let's
brought
go
to you
some.
By Uber.
Yeah, 100%. But if we did that, I would 100% be on board of doing that.
Yeah,
I feel like crap later, but I do it. I do it the one time. I do it.
The only problem is like we have 4-minute, 3-minute breaks every 12 minutes, so that we're losing a ton of time to eat and drink. Because we have to sit here and talk.
Well, I'm not dusty. I don't eat like a bird.
Oh, I eat like a bird.
No, that's no. It's 9. It's 9, 9, 9. Like you got to.
I have a buddy that
got to keep it moving.
Danny, I think would be housing one every break.
Yeah, it would not be hard for me.
Yeah.
No. I should say, I would not feel great about it. That's 100% certain. Yeah. But
I would probably feel bad about myself afterward too.
Yeah. But if like, look, man, the military culture in me. If I need to eat something quick. I'll just say this. I go golfing at Chehalem Glen. My self-treat is at the turn, I get a dog. First time I was there playing with some buddies, that's what we did. It became kind of a tradition. I go up there, get the glizzy. I will grab it, walk out of the clubhouse, and before I get to the 10th tee box, it is gone. It's gone. Mm. So
are we talking like a regular Oscar Mayer wiener here size?
Costco Polish.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a big dog.
That's deep.
Yeah,
that's a big ass boy.
You drive. You, to be clear,
big ass boy.
You do drive across the street.
Uh huh.
But we're talking two and a half minutes tops from clubhouse to.
Yeah, that's heavy, man.
Gone. Mostly because I don't want to sit there and hold something or have it just sitting in the cart. I just hope.
It's okay. I don't like holding a wiener too long either.
Right?
Okay. I probably eat like a bird because of my restaurant life, where it's like, yes. You know, there's some fries here. They're about to be cold in 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Grab yourself a little handful, eat, and that's going to suffice you for the next five hours.
Expo window.
For the next 2 hours, those fries are going to take care of you.
Go grab a couple of croutons out of the salad bar in the kitchen.
Totally, man. Yeah. Totally. When you when there's a misfire sandwich, and chef says this is for everyone, and there's 9 of us, so someone's like trying to cut the thing 9 different ways. You're like, 9's not even an even number. How am I going to do this? It's like, sorry, dude, it's gone. It's gone. Hey, I'm gonna save me a piece. I gotta go check my table real quick. Then you come back and everybody's like, "That sandwich, chef, great job. That sandwich is so good." You're like, damn it. That's why I hate specials too. I hate specials too because then you're like, I've been as a manager for a long time, so I got to like run the pregame shift, the lineup,
there you go.
Whatever you want to call it. Where you're like, tonight the special is this, and our, you know, our point of service goal is this, and also quit smoking your vape pen in the walk-in cooler and stuff like that. Meanwhile, nobody's listening, and everybody's just destroying whatever special is for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets done, and there's just like some lettuce and some sauce on a plate. And it's like, oh, I wonder if that was any good. But I do
simple
have
things.
But I get revenge on them.
Mm.
You know why? Mm. Because then I order the special for dinner, and as a manager, I don't pay for it.
Oh.
So then I sit there and I'm just like, this tasty. nice sandwich going in my belly.
And you eat it slowly.
And I eat it slowly.
Little bird.
Just like a little bird.
Dusty legitimately might be the slowest eating man I've ever seen.
I'm pretty slow. I got a good buddy that's really slow too.
And it might be me, to be honest. I mean, I realize that
my shape
flies in the face of that fact.
You're faster than Dusty. You're faster than Dusty.
Is this the only thing in life we're faster than Dusty at? So I'll tell you what, if it's a foot race, oh boy.
I think he could
tie his legs together and he'd be faster than me.
Probably. He would get a grilled cheese from across the street. By the end of the show, he might finish one half. Might.
Well, that's because there's not a lot of time
to eat. No. That man goes out there and just nom, 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 just takes a little baby bird bite. Nom, 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 nom. Nom, 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 nom.
So coming on the text line, 503-864-6326. Would it be easier to do 9 shots or 9 beers? Shots.
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
Shots.
I've told this story. I used to carry a literal fifth of Jaeger in my pocket when I was in the Air Force. I drank that by myself most nights.
Yeah, you make it 9 shots for me and 9 dogs, that makes it that
I'd be done in the first inning.
50% easier.
See, it's the alcohol that's not a problem. It's the hot dogs for me. I don't think 9 shots of booze in my belly, then scarfing down 9 dogs is going to be a good idea.
Yeah, see, but I couldn't tell you the last time I drank more than like 3 beers in a sitting. Because I just feel bloated.
See, I would have to kind of get the body used to the beer again because I don't drink beer.
This body is in great shape.
You were in prime beer season. Now again, if we made the shots, I mean, to be honest, I do this at the Fan Golf Classic.
See, I think the shot. I think the shots would make me throw up the hot dogs. And once you throw up, you're out.
Oh, sure, but
you can't like in the fourth inning go to a garbage can on the concourse and throw up. I had a buddy try to do 9 for 9 for 9 at Texas this year at a Rangers game on a work event.
Well, where does he work? That's
here in Portland, and he had to go to Texas for like a conference.
Oh, so he wasn't.
And
working,
the whole
crew
took them to a baseball game, and he decided to 9 for 9 for 9.
But he lost it.
He did not. He did not complete it. And 2 months ago, he was laid off. So, I do wonder if sometimes, like, it's not a fireable offense.
No, but it's like,
but when it comes time to go, it's like. That guy, you're either laying him off because A, he attempted a 9 for 9 for 9 at a work event, or he didn't finish the 9 for 9 for 9 at a work event.
See, that's one of those things where it's like, was it such a bad situation that it's like just referred to as the incident at work? You know what I mean? Like, well, you know,
dude, I know this guy.
Incident.
I know this guy. He is not my friend at all. I've met this dude a couple times, and I have no interest in being a part of his life. He got fired because of his actions at a Christmas party.
I had 2 of those. Yeah. Not me personally, but like
I was like, dang, Danny, don't you learn from the first one?
No, this is gonna not dark, but there was a hookup.
This is gonna be very much in pocket.
Yeah, in pocket. Well, I mean, it's out of pocket, but it's in pocket. There was a hookup between a boss and a subordinate in a closet, like where somebody was trying to find the bathroom and open the door mid.
Nice.
Both married.
Caught in flagrante delicto.
Yes.
Locked.
Both married.
Cocked, ready to rock.
Both married. That was they both had to go. So that one was bad. And then the other one was a guy who got super, super drunk and grabby.
Unshining moment.
Yeah, he we were, to be honest, we were looking for a reason to get rid of him anyways, but he gave us that reason real quick when he went honk honk.
It always is nice when you're trying to like let go of somebody from your employment or their employment and they just do it for you.
It's helpful, certainly.
Yep. Like the Friday news dump, you know, fire somebody on Friday and
YouTube's 9 dogs and 3 cheeseburgers is the bare minimum at a cookout. So why is it such a challenge to the game? if you're at a big barbecue and you are not the host, do you put it down?
No, I don't put it down anywhere though.
Oh.
No, if I was at a barbecue,
I just slap my meat on the grill.
if all of us, if we're at an Odyssey Portland summer cookout,
mm-hmm.
say at Peninsula Park or something like mm-hmm. that. Cathedral Park, shout out St. John's. Honk your horn if you're in St. John's. I probably have 2 little hot dogs. If they're like Costco size, I'll have 1.
We had,
and then we be drinking.
Yeah,
I can't be filling up on food when I'm trying to be drinking.
Jeff, did you ever do any of the big parties at NBC?
No, not really.
So we had our rat party at Gaucho mm-hmm. in the back room. I don't think Shane will care for to tell the story. Shane was hammered, having a good old time. He got there a little bit late because he had a set earlier.
Swagalicious.
Yes. And you know the giant, like, goldfish bowl-sized thing of cocktail shrimp?
Yeah.
That man just took it. And I swear to God, he ate the whole thing.
That's a man after my own heart.
Dude, it was, I mean, these weren't like the little shrimps. These are like the jumbo cocktail shrimps. That man just sat there just nom, 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 nom the whole time.
Nom, nom, nom.
God, that's pretty good.
It's hard to get down the throat.
It's true. But what we had for food there that night was, I mean, it's El Gaucho. It was off the charts. And I was like, you know what? Instead of this party, maybe you could just pay us more. Because there's no way this party wasn't like $30,000 at bare minimum. So it was just like, but yeah, I think that was like meant for the room. Well, I'm not kidding. This thing was a goldfish bowl size.
Oh yeah. It's meant for the whole room. Also, you probably shouldn't eat that much shellfish in one sitting.
Probably not. But that man housed that thing.
Oakley Doakley, well, we do got a Friday show for you today on this Football Friday. There's a lot to jump to in the 11 o'clock hour. I've been waiting. I know this story broke a few days ago, but I was waiting to kind of see any more pieces falling out. So I do want to get to that Oregon State NIL situation that they've got going on and kind of parlay that into what the Big Ten is floating out there, at least what reports are floating out there. But there's a lot to get to in terms of the football world of what's going down this week. And big game in college football. I want to talk about your Las Vegas Raiders, Danny, because I've got some concerns. We will sneak in a little bit of baseball as it is time for the DS as they are set. But when we come back, boy, I don't know if there's a more boring guy in the world that gave me one hell of a ride. We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
It's okay, I don't like holding a wiener too long either.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an A-bomb.
1017 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live, baby, from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Also, youtube.com/1051thefan. Join the chat. We're always getting wild in the in there. I love this from Zach in the YouTube chat because I know his wife. The wife made me buy 100 Costco hot dogs for our daughter's birthday, and only 30 people had one. I've been eating hot dogs for lunch for 2 weeks.
It happens.
That's what happens, amigo.
I on a lesser
she's got a super cute daughter. She's great. You know, super smart.
On a lesser scale, I had some steaks that I made for dinner last night, mm-hmm. and had some people over, and they didn't eat nearly the quantity nor the like. Nobody took a whole steak.
What?
To be clear, they're the Costco New Yorks.
Still.
Which, like, each steak is basically like 2.5 steaks.
But you got to take the full steak.
And I was like, do you want to take some home? Like, you want to, like, I literally, you guys saw me. I was eating steak for breakfast this morning.
It's like from Eddie Murphy Delirious, where he goes at the cookout with the fire. We ain't eating no mother loving brontosaurus burger.
Yeah, it's like, come on. Like, and they came out, like, flawlessly. And they were like, oh, they are really good. But I'm like, You don't want it. So now I'm quote unquote stuck eating New York steak for every meal for the next like 3 days.
Yeah, that's a shame.
It's really terrible. I'm going to have to, you know, cut it up and throw it on a taco or on a sandwich or
shimmich.
I could derail us right now. I could 100% derail us.
You know, man, your name's in the show too.
I'm just going to say.
You can do whatever you want.
What is the best food delivery mechanism?
What do you mean?
A tortilla? Bread?
Oh, the sandwich vessel?
Roll? Yeah.
The vessel?
The delivery method.
Would Joey Chestnut say water?
Oh, God.
I had to throw that.
Because I am a firm believer, as much as I love, a good sandwich is unbeatable.
Oh, you do not have to tell me. I would bet my entire house, my family, all my life savings on a tortilla
yes,
for you.
It is. Yeah,
absolutely.
It is the most versatile thing you can have.
I've seen you eat more tortillas than I have anything else on this planet.
Yeah. Because I use it as, it is the literal delivery mechanism. You can turn it into a wrap. You can turn it into a taco. You can turn it into a fajita. You can, like, go Mediterranean on it. You can go Mexican. You can throw, like, you can do whatever you want with it. It is the most versatile food delivery mechanism on the planet.
They're great.
You could put a hot dog in one.
You could put a hot dog in one. You could put a hot dog in one.
See? No.
Not that derailing.
It's because you wouldn't let it be.
Oh, yeah. I'm the one preventing you. That's yeah. A great call. Last night, Thursday night football, San Francisco 49ers defeat the Los Angeles Rams 26-23. And, you know, I think a lot of talk of this is just like the gutty performance from Mac Jones and
but
you know.
Throw for basically 350.
Yeah, and there was a lot. He took a lot of hits and he was making stuff happen and things like that. And I don't know if it's all the cuts of him like throwing up on the sideline or limping to the sideline after getting just drilled, but I saw him do post-game interviews and he was just like, hi, my name's Mac Jones. I play quarterback and I would like to go home. That outside of his cadence in the game, I don't know how you like get up for that guy.
Yeah, he's definitely like Quaalude Jones, just kind of chilling. Just I don't yeah. know, man. It's Stafford's a chill guy, but like
no, but there's fire. There, in
you see him get intense. There's a lot of you know, pointing and screaming and yelling, and he's not a real. He's not super intense, but you can see him being.
No, he's not a Philip Rivers. You know, he's not like Philip Rivers was kind of crazy sometimes.
Philip Rivers was fire and brimstone yeah. from the jump.
Be careful.
No,
you don't want to compare him to the bad man.
No.
He will be angry.
Look,
that.
Fire and brimstone came from the top too. Just saying.
Yeah, but you know, but Matt, shout out to Mac Jones. I thought this game was really strange, and these Thursday night games continue to be strange for a myriad of reasons. But
quick question,
shoot,
Mac Jones doesn't suck.
Mac Jones doesn't suck. Kyle Shanahan better than we actually give him credit for?
No, he's an offensive guru. He is.
I know, but how many times do you see guys that are like, oh, this guy can fix any quarterback, and then the quarterback comes in and still kind of sucks?
Yeah, that's pretty regular.
Some guys are just that. Dude, Shanahan.
There's something with that family name.
I mean, Sam Darnold is a starter somewhere. He helped with that.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan, obviously.
Couldn't fix Trey Lance.
Could not fix Trey Lance.
That's, I don't think, but that's also.
He needed a Schottenheimer. That's what he needed.
Oh, there you go.
No, it's Harbaugh.
That's right. Yeah, it's right.
It's Harbaugh. But I think that's what it. I think that's what it boils down to. With San Francisco missing so much on the offense, and you know, and the defense still missing guys. Fred Warner was an absolute stud last night. And oh yeah, that Christian McCaffrey guy, get him the ball, and things happen. I give Mac Jones a ton of credit. I thought he balled out last night. And in a league, when you're a backup quarterback and you don't have a ton of opportunities to do this kind of stuff, I mean, he shouted out after the game. He's given praise to Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. He's just like, yeah, man, I'm trying to hold this down till Brock comes back. So when you don't get all those opportunities, it's perfect for you to come in and, yeah, man, throw your body on the line. Eat bananas on the sideline because your body's cramping up. Throw up in the fourth quarter in overtime. Like, guys, get behind that. And I saw, you know, Fred Warner sitting at the desk last night, and that guy, for a linebacker that hits dudes real hard for a living, he was all smiles last night, and there was nothing really to be upset about. And I thought it was just, for a team that we sit here and can't decide if they're any good and want to bash them for their injuries,
I will put 10 toes down.
That's a big win for them, I think.
It is. It is both a big win, and it's the worst 4-1 team I've ever seen.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the records, but I still think the Rams are the better team in this division.
Yes!
But I'll tell you what, man, if this is the second round of the playoffs, which very much could happen, San Francisco Rams, and that's kind of the performance your backup quarterback puts in, I mean, guys rally behind that. And I think you saw that, whether it was the offense or the defense making stops. I do think a lot of this game is the Rams and turnovers and bad special teams, and they kind of shot themselves in the foot a lot, but What do we always say? No style points and wins in the NFL.
No, there's not. Did you see McVay after the game?
I loved it.
I
loved it.
On me. It's me. I don't care. It's me.
He cut the reporter off.
It's me.
He was like, I know which question you're going. Shut up. It's me.
It's me.
Worst bad call.
Bad call.
I like that.
I thought, and you could see his eyes. He had very clearly just given a pretty impassioned speech in the locker room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was not the look of a guy that came out of a locker room with his head down.
Mm-mm.
That was a guy that probably shed a tear of like, I screwed up. And I think he genuinely believes it. I don't think he's just doing that to hop on the grenade.
No, I don't think so either. And we had the conversation yesterday, kind of where Matt Stafford, it evolved into where Matt Stafford lies in the pantheon of quarterbacks. Yeah. Rough first half for the Rams just in general, but dude, Matt Stafford is a baller. That guy is good. And that's why I still like the Rams. I mean, I've been a Seahawks guy in this division, and we'll see, because I think, you know, offensively, they still have some stuff to figure out. That defense is really good. Matt Stafford is still a dude, and he was a dude. And if there's
also Puka Nacua.
Also a dude.
Continues to be a dude.
Also a dude.
12 targets, 10 catches. Are you kidding?
Dude, Tutu Atwell had two catches yesterday, and both of them were insanely important.
Gave him a chance.
Gave him a big chance. Was this a good game? I don't know that answer. Was I entertained? I sure was. And this was while watching the Yankee-Red Sox game at the same time.
Yeah. How do you feel about McCaffrey getting 22 carries?
I think it makes sense because you don't trust your quarterback. You don't expect Mac Jones
to go out. He threw the ball 49 times.
I know, but you don't expect Mac Jones to go out there and be amazing. So you want to force feed McCaffrey. And they were force feeding him in the beginning of the game.
And he
couldn't do anything. And then once he started kind of getting going, then their offense became a little more of a balanced attack. But, I mean, a lot of this game is, the Rams defense played better in the second half, but the Rams offense and special teams kind of fell apart when they really needed them to. The McVay call, to get back to that, I love guys like McVay, and I love guys that are, you know, he says the classic line, we're here to win a game.
Yeah.
And that's why you go for it.
He didn't go full LaFleur.
No.
With the Packers, but the Packers walked out with a tie.
I probably would have kicked the field goal there, but the reason he went for it, I think, is why we could have the conversation of do you elect to defer or accept on the coin flip of overtime.
Yeah.
Because guys are deferring because they want to know what they need to do.
Yep.
But because the game is still alive after that, and it's live, it's not college football where you're going to get another chance, it makes me wonder if going first is the better route.
Because then you put the pressure. Yes, you may have set it up or whatever.
Only like, because if you get a touchdown and they do too, whatever you do seals it.
Yeah.
To where I think McVay went for it there because he was afraid if he kicked the field goal, they would score no matter what.
Because there's time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
which is what I don't like it, but it's what the Packers did last week of like, we're just going to run this stupid thing down. And Jordan Love almost screwed that pooch.
Yeah.
When he tried to get that last playoff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they did walk out with a tie, and technically, the tie is better than the loss. Technically.
Technically. Percentage points wise, yes.
But it's still lame.
Still super lame. But lame. Hey, to your point, the NFC West continues.
I'm telling you, man, just spin the chamber on a week-to-week basis.
Spin the chamber and we'll see how it goes. Well, there's a big game for Seattle as well this weekend that we'll get to in the 12 o'clock hour. But I want to slide over to college football with this as the game of the week. The game of the week is not College Game Day. Or am I wrong about this being the game of the week? Is there a way to change the narrative? This will be a theme throughout our show today. Is there a way to change the narrative on this college football coach who has not left his own state yet? We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan. There's Rust with sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get into some NIL situations, take a look around PNW and college football, take our picks for that, and I want to have a conversation about the offense in Las Vegas, plus Web Jam's everybody's favorite. But we'll start here in am I wrong in saying that the big game of the weekend is Miami-Florida State?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I tried to look at the schedule and go,
Is it just the television telling me because they chose Bama and Pavia?
Yeah, it's a fun story.
And I thought game day was supposed to go to the best game of the week.
Yeah, they go to the story. I mean, come on. Game day's been up at Wazoo, right?
Hell yeah, brother.
Has
I was there.
Has it ever been the best game?
I mean, it was Wazoo, Oregon. Oregon had just beat UW.
I know, but I mean,
two ranked teams.
Yeah, dang.
That guy.
Yeah, didn't they go to North Dakota State? Once, didn't they go to Montana?
Man, I don't like this anymore. I got all excited when you said they went to my school. They fly the flag at game day every single week for like 200 plus weeks.
And it is pretty impressive. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
I've touched Old Glory, Old Crimson.
You're out here astroturfing your flag, paying people to do it.
Well, you got to, dude.
Unbelievable.
There's no way you can continue on this. But the big game for a big game of the weekend for me, and it sounds like for you, is Miami at Florida State. So many layers about this game. But the question I really want to start asking is, as we have sat here all week and kind of discussing post the insane weekend that was last week, that Miami didn't even participate in, that maybe the most complete teams we've seen play football are your Oregon Ducks, Danny, and my Miami Hurricanes. Mm. When do we get to a point where the narrative changes on Mario Cristobal? Because I think we're at a spot where we can admit that there's only a few dudes in college football that coach teams that have natties. That would be Ryan Day most recently. That would be Kirby Smart with his two.
And Dabo
with his two.
That's the list.
So we sit here and we can, you know, critique the Billy Napiers of the world or praise the Sarkisians and the Kiffins of the world and, you know, blast on Brian Kelly because we don't like Brian Kelly. Do we ever get to, or James Franklin for that matter, can we ever get to a point where we can give Guy enough credit without having a natty? Or is it because we just don't like Mario Cristobal?
Yes.
Yes? Are we doing that? It feels like we're doing that a little bit with Lanning, because we like Lanning.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I don't mean we, you and me. I mean the collective.
I like Lanning. But here's the thing.
I meant more the national narrative on Lanning.
But I would say personally, I like Cristobal too.
Yeah.
I do. Like, the clock errors that he's had in his career have been egregious to the point of like, brother, what are you doing?
It's a little Andy Reid in Philadelphia to me.
And you would hope that like the James Franklin of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sit there and watch Penn State lose big games and think, wow, James Franklin called a bad game.
Or did it again.
Made a bad decision. Oh, well, everybody wants to lump everything in. Well, it's coaching. It was like, well, if you want to say the coaching part of it is his recruiting and inability to pick the right quarterback, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the on-field stuff, I don't really question. Like, Lanning, I haven't really questioned. Like, there's plenty of coaches. Like, for me, Lincoln Riley on the play calling stuff, I don't really question. There's other stuff around it, and I think that's what it is with Cristobal. He's actually screwing up the on-field stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's the off-field stuff that he's nailing.
He's recruiting, his culture, like the stuff that kind of goes with that, like the revival and the momentum that all comes about it. But then he will commit some of the most egregious football coaching errors imaginable. And you're just going, what? And then we use that. That's the string we pull. Well, you can't do this, which is you can't do this, which is you can't do this, which is, you know what I mean? It snowballs downhill. Well, I think he's the only guy in the country that's true of in the sense of top-level coaches where the actual on-field thing has bit him not once, not twice, not thrice, but more times than we can count.
Yeah, I asked you this when we were doing show prep, like, Mario Cristobal goes all the way to the national championship and doesn't make any of those mistakes, and all of a sudden we're sitting here and I'm going, I'm probably taking Miami in that game, you know, knowing what I know now. Be like, I'm taking Miami in that game. If he does one of those blunders, we instantly kill him. It feels like, you just brought up a great point. It feels like coaching in college football is so much more than on-field coaching.
Yes.
On in-game coaching.
Significantly more than in the NFL.
Especially in an NIL world now, mm-hmm. where, I mean, you had guys that were secretly giving bags to dudes. Now you can really give bags to dudes, and I feel like the coach is a lot more a part of that process mm-hmm. now.
Hell, Mario was a part of it back then.
and so there's so much more than on the field, so why is it that we can give... You know, we can sit here and say that Franklin, while misses some stuff in his program at quarterback or what Dabo's got going on, whether he's accepting transfers mm-hmm. or NIL, et cetera, why does it feel like Cristobal is more egregious because his one spot is some on-field coaching? Is it because that's the product we see?
It's the most visible thing. And number two, it has literally cost them games.
So my question is can that change?
Sure, you can evolve, you can learn.
Will it always hang over his head even if he wins a natty? No, well, he could screw up.
No, if they go to a natty.
You think just an appearance would change that?
I think it would change the narrative, unless he you know, chews on his own foot.
Yeah.
Gun to my head, if you told me that Miami is in the national title game this year, and you guaranteed me that Mario Cristobal was not going to step on a landmine himself, I'm taking Miami.
I'll take him with the spread, too.
But that's the thing. Is like, look, I don't like Carson Beck.
Vampire?
I trust him more than most quarterbacks in the country to not be the guy that steps on the landmine himself. But if I'm looking at somebody and I'm wondering, is he going to do it? It's Cristobal. Is he going to grab the play sheet and go, I'm taking control of this. I'm putting my fingerprints all over this. And they go, oh, boy. Because here's the thing. In the trenches, they're nasty as hell.
Mm-hmm. That's his forte.
Beck is getting all this love. Beck's been fine. It's the defense. That defense has been nails.
Well, and I think one thing that I've kind of been preaching, I think you have as well, is you don't need the Heisman Trophy winner to win a national championship.
No, you don't. You need a good quarterback.
You need a Will Howard.
Yeah.
Is what you need.
Well, I mean, Will Howard was really good.
Well, I know, but he's not a Heisman Trophy winner, follow?
No, 100%.
Or, you know, or the next guy to win, you know? You need more than a J.J. McCarthy.
Well.
But you don't need Marcus Mariota.
Technically, no. You can win with J.J.
You
McCarthy.
You can.
You have very special circumstances.
Yes, you have very, very special circumstances. And I will give Mario some credit that he's probably just looking at it like, dude, screw the Heisman, man. I don't care. If Mario Cristobal was coaching a squad that won a Heisman Trophy, I don't think that really does anything for Mario. Here's another example.
I was thinking about it. Why do you think that?
Because it's on the field. And guys that win Heisman, a lot of them say, you know, they do it in spite of the situation. They have a moment. Maybe their coach puts them in a bad spot. Like, if Drew Aller for the next 6 weeks has really decent games, throws high 200, low 300 yards passing, and then gets to the Ohio State game and throws a touchdown at the end, he's number one on the board. He's number one on the board, even though Franklin may have had some issues in that Oregon game in which they lost. My example is Kalen DeBoer. We do not really – Kalen had a rough year at Alabama, but we kind of gave him a pass because it's hard to follow Saban, and there were some cracks in there.
The rough year was 9-3.
I know, but there are some cracks in that Alabama foundation due to NIL.
And guys that left when Saban left.
I don't know if you saw Kiffin's quote about dynasties in the SEC are dead.
Oh, no.
I firmly believe him on that. So we give him a little bit of a pass, but he gets to a national championship with a Heisman-caliber quarterback in Michael Penix, doesn't win it, and we're like, DeBoer's legit. Goes into Georgia, and we're willing to look past the Florida State game.
But I think he gets that because of he has not had gaffes along the route. You know who else is like this is Cignetti. Cignetti, you know, Google me, bitch. He was at James Madison, and James Madison was a powerhouse group of five. He goes to Indiana and tells everybody, Google me. And then he goes out there and does it with a guy, a quarterback in Rourke, you're just like, a guy who played with a torn ACL the entire year, damn near. And then this year, they get Mendoza in the portal, and they're out there putting up crooked numbers and beating the hell out of guys. And everybody's looking around like, is Cignetti, is he one of them ones? Like, you know what I mean? Because the gaffe hasn't been there. The gaffe hasn't been there for DeBoer. Mario has had gaffes where it's not in
his
like...
His exit from Oregon's not pretty. Not from a local angle, but just how that went down and how we clearly see he misused Herbert. Really, really bad.
But again, so maybe on that's the field stuff. It's the track record with like... Let's use Lane. Lane, I don't think has got a guy on the field. I think it's been a talent issue. But earlier in his career, he did things he shouldn't do. He was way, way too aggressive in trying not only to implement, but trying to get things done offensively that he shouldn't be trying to do.
And everything came to him at such a young age that he doesn't even have the life experience.
No, but then he goes to Bama for what, 8 years? He's under Saban?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's that long.
I said eight. Good Lord, three.
Oh, look at it.
But he goes under Saban for a handful of years, and then he learns. I loved his quote the other day. He said, look, man, I learned from Pete. I learned from my dad on defense. I learned from Saban for years. And it was just like.
He was at Alabama for 2 years.
Two. Okay, yeah. I'm about to say eight. I don't know what the hell popped in my head. I think he's been in the SEC for that long.
It's two or three. I can't tell because it says 24 to 2016. So.
But. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think he might have said 8 years in the SEC, like playing against.
Oh, okay.
I think that might have been what it was.
Well, Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, Tennessee, yeah. But like that, like learning and growing where Cristobal has just been kind of the guy. And has he learned? That's the question I have. Has he learned?
New information, new experiences give you new ideas.
I am not a, unless you're a coach, and I hate using his name over and over again, but it was so, so egregious and so bad. Unless you're Nathaniel Hackett bad, it's honestly locally with Chauncey. Chauncey was not good his first year, but I understood the soft skill stuff, the locker room stuff. And I was like, if he can figure out some of this stuff, he can be pretty good.
But I wonder if that's a little apples and oranges. I know we're way up against it, but I wonder if that's a little apples and oranges, though, because NBA is such a player-driven league.
It takes more
like the Steve Kerrs and the Phil Jacksons that just kind of get guys to work together and let them play ball.
But Cristobal's good about that stuff, too. But it's also like those other guys you mentioned, they set themselves up for success by the on-the-court stuff. Yes, the players make the league in the NBA.
Talent also helps.
When it comes to coaches, you see a guy either has it or he doesn't. I don't think Cristobal doesn't have it. I don't think James Franklin doesn't have it.
I mentioned Andy Reid earlier.
Andy Reid was very good in Philadelphia.
Very good in Philly. Four NFC championships and a Super Bowl
shotgun
appearance.
Shotgun to the foot
yeah.
in the most crucial times.
And now he's won three of the last five Super Bowls.
Look, him going to Kansas City.
Whatever it is.
Kansas City was not, like, when he goes there, it wasn't seen as like this, oh, Kansas City's ready now.
No, it was a step down.
Like, it was you know what I mean? And now look at how Andy Reid's looked at as maybe one of the top five coaches in the history of the game.
Yeah. Top five, top three, maybe.
I'm saying, yeah,
like Belichick, Walsh, and him.
And we almost kind of glossed past the Philly era, other than it was a success.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you can change that narrative if you've got the juice. Do you deny or do you not believe that Mario Cristobal doesn't have the juice?
He's got the juice.
So?
He's got the juice. I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Let's flip this on this head and go to the other side of the field. Florida State walks into this game. Is Mike Norvell in one of the best places of a college quarterback right now in the NFL? We'll stay in college. 105 won the fan.
Hope y'all had a good day.
That'll be my game of the weekend for sure. Florida State hosting Miami at Doak Walker. Should be a wild scene. Should be a real wild scene.
Wild scenes on and off the field.
Danny, you might be the one person that I know that loves Doak Walker the most.
Dude, Doak is just...
I know we all know it's great, but you get an extra perk when I mention Doak
Walker.
Look,
man, the way the stadium is set up, it's just going to sound so super weird, but like the shape of the stadium, the bowl, like the way when the camera pans out, the war chant, it's one of my favorite, like... dumb things that comes across on social media is like Europeans discovering American college football. And every single time Doak Walker comes up in the reel.
Oh, really?
Oh,
okay. That makes sense.
That roar of the war chant and all of them. Oh, blimey, mate. That's a lot. It's like, you know, it's Europeans and Australians are like, this is nuts. And it's like, yeah, dog, it's crazy. You've got, Chief, is it God dang it. He comes out with a spear and sticks it in the ground
Osceola?
On the horse. Osceola, thank you. Yes. And that the roar of that place. Now, when they're not good, it's not the same environment.
Well, yeah. I mean, a whiteout's not good in the same environment. Autzen's not
as loud. I was just gonna say
if it's a 4-win season.
Autzen, even in a average season. That's one of the loudest places I've ever been to.
Yeah, but
it gets louder.
That's what I mean.
It's
built that way.
But I mean, even then, it's
facing down.
It does. And like Memorial Coliseum for USC, it's never loud. So it's not because it's a 105-year-old building. But
looks good for a Rose Bowl, not a Rose Bowl, but for like the Olympics. Or
oh yeah,
like
for that stuff
like
it's cool. But like, Doak just has something about it. Like it's Florida State. Ole Miss, and then it's probably tied for third for me, either Georgia or Clemson. Those are the college football stadiums that I want to go to the most.
Yep, it's gone.
Sorry.
I know.
I got very excited about Doak.
I almost went to Florida State for grad school. Yeah, they have a great theater program down there.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I'm sure they have actresses down there.
Your third year, they send you to England to work at the Globe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's really crazy. It makes me wonder what my life would be like if I was a Florida
tanner.
State fan living in Tallahassee.
Your football life would maybe be a little better.
No, because I'd always have undergrad.
Yeah, no,
I always have undergrad. My first love.
You would be able to claim, though.
I would be able to claim.
You'd be right there with Cannell saying you got screwed 2 years ago.
I'd have a Jameis jersey.
You would. You 100% would. You'd have it. But you know what else you'd have? You'd have a bunch of Florida State throwbacks.
Yeah, probably.
You'd be like, oh, no, I've been a Florida State my whole life.
I don't know if it's because maybe the shine has worn off a little bit from Florida State beating Alabama after their loss to Virginia last, Friday night. Really fun game. First and foremost, I do not want to poo-poo this Virginia team.
No.
Okay.
We talked about this going into that game.
I think I've heard some people on this station be like, that Virginia team, eh. And I'm like, eh, I don't know. What I saw in that game was a pretty good team.
Look at their offense. Look at what they have done offensively.
Defense might have issues.
Sure, but offense, that's the thing, but though, if you're in college football, even though we talk about being complete teams and in-depth and all those kind of things, you're still talking about kids. And if you've got an offense that can put the pedal down, we saw this with the Chip Kelly Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their defense was fine, but their offense broke your back.
Yeah, it was electric.
And if you can do that, which Virginia clearly can, they have the potential. That was the game that we highlighted going into that weekend, that Friday night. I was like, if you're looking for a chaos grenade, that's the game.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's the other team that threw a chaos grenade into stuff, too. So, in using the constant we have going here today of narrative, it feels like to me walking into this game that, and maybe I'm poo-pooing Florida State despite, you know, really like really liking how they bounced back from last year. It feels like Mike Norvell walks into this game as a very much house money kind of situation, that if Florida State loses, we're going to sit here on Monday and be like, well, see, I think Miami's the best team in the nation. To where...
Isn't that crazy where we were 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, and he won two games last year? One game last year?
That game and...
They're already hyped. There's Heisman talk around Castellanos. Like, but if they lose to Miami... You're kind of like, yeah, they're fine. The ACC is kind of a wide open thing. Yeah. They could still sneak their way into the playoff and make some noise.
It depends on the score. I think that's the only thing.
I don't know if it does.
No, I'm talking about if you're still projecting them to be maybe an ACC title team, like go to the ACC title game and challenge Miami for a rematch kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. If this is 8 or less, and you're like, and I'm not talking like a backdoor, you know,
sure,
late touchdown to get
real score.
Like, let's say this is a... Let's go 38-30. If this is a 38-30 game, but like, you know...
Castellanos throws a pick at the end.
Yeah, you're like, not Baltimore-Detroit 38-30. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can't be that, because we all know that game was not that. We know Detroit won that game handily. But if you're there...
But I think for this, let's go back to this game specifically. Maybe I spoke too far.
No,
about
I'm
the
with
ACC.
You. I'm talking about like with Florida State, the narrative coming out of it. If it's a one score or less game ish, and it's like not even competitive, but above the bar of competitive.
What if it's 14 points? What if it's 15 points, 17? That's what I'm asking. I wonder if we'll sit here on Monday and say, told you Miami's really good.
I think that'll be what we'll say, because to the winner go the spoils.
Sure.
But I'll phrase it to you this way. Is there a score where Norvell's goodwill that he has earned falls apart, particularly on the heels of the loss of Virginia?
20 plus.
Okay, so three.
Blowout.
So like not even on the same field.
I consider blowout 20 or more points.
I typically go two score or more, but okay.
Yeah. Because I think when I say blowout, then I'm going to really talk trash.
Yeah.
And losing by two touchdowns, that you could nitpick, find that somewhere throughout the game.
So like App State, Oregon State.
But losing by 20 points, that's out the building.
Yeah,
ran out the building.
Yeah, you can't be on the same field with these guys.
Yeah, I think, that might be the narrative. Yeah. Okay. If Norvell loses by 20 plus, it's like, nice little win against Alabama. Program still needs work. But if Norvell loses by 4, kind of like that. But I do think that middle ground area, we are going to give Florida State a pass, because we're going to just chalk it up to Miami being good.
If
Miami beats Florida State by 30, they'll be the number one team in the nation.
If they aren't, I'm going to
be... If they aren't, it'll be really dumb.
So pissed.
I look, and Duck fans, 503-864-6326, YouTube chat, you can come at me if you want. I do not mean this disparagingly, because I think that win against Penn State is massive.
It's a great win.
It's huge. And you could argue you could get bumped to number one in the nation, but it's always week to week. You know, if Miami blows out Florida State, put them at number one. If you host Cignetti and just put an absolute curb stomp, you'll jump. But for this week specifically,
I don't think they will.
I think they could.
They
a
would,
curb stomp, which could happen in Eugene. I mean, Vegas even kind of has it a little bit of a curb stomp.
Was it 6.5?
I'm not sure if it's moved at all, but I believe...
Because I know the early season one was huge.
Was huge. I don't think it's that big anymore.
Which if you took that number now, you've got to be thrilled. If you like took Indiana, because I think it was like 12.5 or 13.5 to open the season. If you were like... Indiana's going to be better than that. I'm going to take that line right now.
Dude, I think Big Sook took it at that line and is probably still happy about it. That's the faith he has in Oregon.
Oh, he took Oregon on that line?
Pretty sure.
Oof,
I could be speaking out of pocket, out of turn here.
I'm saying if you took Indiana at that line,
totally,
you're probably feeling pretty spicy right now.
I get
now.
You on that. Maybe my memory doesn't serve me right from all the, you know.
No, I've heard him say he thinks.
Post-game celebrities.
No, I'm almost certain I heard him say that he would pick. Or he did pick Oregon over Indiana, and pretty heavily going into that.
And I don't want to nitpick the AP, because we've spent so much time kind of bitching and moaning about the AP.
That's what I'm going to do, because it's dumb. But to this point, if Miami goes in there one score or better,
mm-hmm.
nobody's played more people, and nobody's handled business better.
It's true.
There's no...
You can rant about Billy Napier and what's going on in Florida all you want. There's dudes on that team.
Well, not only that, that defense is... nasty as hell.
And Notre Dame came back to life.
And they walked up and down the field mm-hmm. on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've just... Miami has a chance to take a stranglehold this weekend on that one spot, and for like, despite it being the ACC, because everybody they've played, they've taken care of business with.
Mm-hmm. And if I see another 24-3 win by Ohio State over a Minnesota team, dude,
I don't
who lost to Cal?
Care.
Who lost to Cal?
Look, Lindsey's a fun little quarterback. The story coming out of there with Minnesota, he's sure. probably going to be good in the long run, but I don't care. You haven't played anybody.
Yep, I agree. We come back loaded. Hour number two, we'll check in on that Oregon State NIL collective, and also what the hell is the B1G talking about? We'll take our picks. I got some offensive coordinator quarterback situation in Vegas I would like to address. Plus, as a baseball. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. We're having fun. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.